This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
The moves in the ring, that's not where the real battle begins. In today's wrestling world, the fight for attention is fiercer than any match. You need media relations that make headlines, event production that creates unforgettable moments, content strategy that builds passionate communities, and crisis management that keeps your reputation untouchable. Whether you're an up-and-coming superstar, growing promotion, merchandising brand, content creator, or convention maker, Big Smile Co. turns your vision into victory. Trusted by the biggest names in sports and entertainment. Big Smile Co. They've worked with Warner Brothers, Discovery, WWE, and some of the biggest names in sports entertainment. Check them out at BigSmile.co.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Rossap. It is January 6, 2025. It is a new era in professional wrestling. WWE Raw has debuted on Netflix. I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Ibu. You can check him out at Self Made Pro Wrestling, at Wrestle Purist, and of course, here on Fightful. Ibu, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. A big day, serious day, big time show tonight. I thought for the occasion I should probably clean up a little bit, got a haircut. I'm ready to go on Fightful. Okay. You're here with the Fightful backdrop. It's like you went to an office or something. Where are you at right now?
I am. So the area that I'm usually at is literally like I could reach in there. Okay. I've got a dual setup in this loft, had this background put in, all that good stuff. But every time over the last year and a half, 2 years, I've tried to use this office, a computer has went out. Or the mics have went out, or the monitor goes out. So I am across this room. I've got a big screen across from me, and it seems like it's finally good to go. After a couple of years, looks like I'm finally set up. There used to be a second chair here, Ibu. It got smashed because I got tired of it. Don't cheap out on furniture. If you're ever doing anything, don't cheap out on furniture. This chair might collapse as we speak.
It's a long-term investment, Sean. Those are the type of things you like. That's going to be in your house for years, you know. So you take it seriously. You invest in it. All that good stuff.
I'll ask you to.
You want to hear something funny, Sean?
Yeah, go ahead.
I clicked the. So I wanted to have YouTube up on a side tab, right? And so I tried to pull up our stream, and I accidentally clicked the WWE YouTube Raw post show, right?
Why?
So listen, it was an accident, right? And it said like 158,000 live viewers. I was like, holy shit, Fightful is white hot, man.
It's us.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we do insane numbers on Twitter. We don't do quite that many numbers. But whether you guys are watching on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, any of those, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com or a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. We are about to step into some really cool new content, some documentary content, some history of wrestling content here on our YouTube channel. We're probably going to post those on Twitter as well. Ibu, I did a timeline of CM Punk, how Royal Rumble 2014 led to his return in 2024. And I was a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey guys, I know a lot of you all probably missed this. It didn't take off on YouTube the way that I thought. 7,000-8,000 views. It did 100,000 views on Twitter overnight.
Wow. That just shows, man, sometimes it's about the platform, you know? It is. We appreciate everybody on all these platforms. We're here live on YouTube to talk about a big time episode of Monday Night Raw, the first one on Netflix, live from the Intuit Dome in Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles, right? Yeah, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, LA. Yeah. The first 3-hour Raw in months, Sean, and I certainly felt it.
at least it wasn't 3.5 hours as speculated today. Right. I was very, very happy about that. Before we get into the show, so last week, man, I put my foot in my mouth, or Jimmy put my foot in my mouth, because I was like, yeah, I'm really fighting, raising those Fightful Select prices. And then the next day, Jimmy hits me with, yeah, so we're raising the Fightful Select price by $1. So at the end of this month, the $5 tier will be the $6 tier, or $64 a year. You can lock in your price at $54 a year right now at FightfulSelect.com. We had dozens of pieces of news today, like some things even... like we mentioned, talent was expecting Becky and Penta there tonight, but we could not confirm that they were there. They were not there. But we did have a whole bunch of names that are had a whole bunch of scoops on who was going to show up, what order things were going to go. Just an incredible number of details there. And we're going to have even more on Tuesday on FightfulSelect.com. I did a free preview live Q&A. It's on all of our podcast platforms. If you want to kind of get a taste of Fightful Select, let's talk about this show. Black Yakuza says that was definitely a show that happened. I do think that there were some expectations that maybe people exceeded, or they set their expectations maybe unrealistically. This show, I believe, was always going to be a, hey, this is what we are type of show. This is like WrestleMania light. Is what it would be like something like that. Like, here are all these guys you know about from when you were a kid or your dad was a kid, but here's the people we got now. How did you feel about this show when all was said and done?
You know what I think about, Sean? It felt to me like a beginner's pamphlet of WWE to a casual audience.
Yeah.
And it was essentially 3 hours of that, along with like, thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to Netflix for putting us on Netflix. Hey, Netflix, we love you. We appreciate you. They're the Netflix executives, folks. We appreciate them. We love them. We love Netflix. Go Netflix. It was a lot of that, a lot of product placement, very like a very broad reaching. And it felt like a Raw not catered to not even like the hardcore regular WWE watchers, let alone like a regular hardcore fan in general. And what I mean by that is there are hallmarks to a normal episode of Raw these days that this show did not have. A lot of these recent Raws have like a very lore dense promo segment where it's like there's like a lot of continuity factored into like what they're saying to each other and that type of thing. They avoided that on this show because they know that like a lot of these people tuning in have never watched a WWE show or have not in a long time. There was an avoidance of that. This show also lacked the hot angles that a lot of these TVs normally have. And thirdly, a lot of the people that make the show what it is from a wrestling standpoint, whether that be a Sheamus or an Io Sky, were relegated to being in the crowd, kind of just waving and saying hello. So that I kind of expected that anyway, because throughout all the day, and you spoke about it, Sean, on Twitter, when it comes to how so much news is trickling in about this show from the morning to the showtime, right? And when I started seeing like, this guy is going to be there, that guy's there, this person's in town, this thing is going to happen, this is opening the show, it became very clear what type of episode of TV this is going to be. And before I even say how I personally felt about it, it's distinctly not quite their normal show. It's almost like WWE has a mode that they get into when they put on this is an extra eyeballs episode of TV. Usually when they're in that mode, they kind of like proceed differently. And personally speaking, I think they should just do what brought them to the dance. Because quite frankly, Sean, the product is hot as balls. There's 17,000 people in this venue, right? And they bought tickets to this show, not because of Hulk Hogan, not because of...
Definitely not because of Hulk Hogan.
Right. But because they are very engaged and invested in the characters and the stories that this product is currently showing them. The Roman Reigns of the world and Rhea Ripley's and the Cody Rhodes's. And obviously those people were on the show. But my point is, do what brought you to the dance completely. You don't have to like button up and like be a slightly more conservative and generic version of yourself on these casual leaning shows, if that makes any sense. So from a substance standpoint, I thought that this was like lacking slightly. And I think that's also because they spread out all their content into a 3-hour stretch.
Yeah.
But the big points I did enjoy, I thought the run-ins, smoke and mirror section of the Roman Reigns match was fun. I enjoyed the main event there. The heat was crazy. And I'm really, really glad that Rhea Ripley finally put this program with Liv Morgan to rest.
We hope.
Right.
We hope.
Right. But I do think it is done. And I think we're starting 2025 off with a reset of the women's divisions, which is very promising.
Let's get to some super chats, humper chats. Fight Mr. Cox says, here's a couple of extra bucks for Ibu's spot on impressions. Oh, you're getting a couple tonight, buddy. KE775 says, were you surprised there were no big returns debuts tonight? I mean, there kind of were. The Rock showed up, Hulk Hogan showed up, The Undertaker showed up. There were some of those, but obviously not Penta, Becky. If I were them, I would save some of the pops, as the kids say, because if you come out and you unload everything week one and you got nothing week two, you are going to condition your audience to be like, well, okay, that was a one-off. I am Crush NC says big night, but it just felt okay. I guess I like more wrestling on my wrestling show. Fun watch nonetheless. So I didn't mind it as much because I knew what to expect coming into one of these shows. Like, honestly, the moment that I saw, first off, Triple H out there doing his credit boys thing, as Grapsity likes to say, and The Rock thanking the Netflix people.
Very odd.
I was like, oh, okay. So I see what kind of show we're going to get. And I sort of managed those expectations. And Tim says the matches were good, but not enough of them. 4 matches in 3 hours is tough. Yeah, we did get about 1:40 into the show. And I was like, oh, match 2.
Yeah, normally on a normal 3-hour Raw, there's typically 6 to 7 matches, Sean. And
you want to know what's funny?
What's up?
I think I've mentioned this to you before. Like, there's the WWE downtime account. We had James Lynch, who covers UFC, do Survivor Series for us. And his thing was like, yeah, there's way less downtime than the UFC.
Oh, UFC downtime is
brutal.
Obnoxious. It's obnoxious.
We used to complain about the 6-7 hour WrestleManias. That's every Saturday in the UFC.
Dude, UFC, sometimes you're waiting like 50 minutes before the main event.
Yeah, because it's so weird. They used to like mandate, like we don't run people out for the main event until midnight. Now you're lucky if it's 12:30. Very lucky. We had a whole bunch of changes here. New ring mat, black ring mat. You got the Fortnite logo right smack dab in the middle. You got Real American Beer, which is Hulk Hogan's beer brand, announced for a multi-year deal today. Did not get a great reaction. We'll talk more about Hogan's reaction later.
Oh, that rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Snickers, Riyadh season, which we might as well talk about right here. Royal Rumble 2026 headed to Saudi. Fightful Select reporter did be Riyadh. We're going to have some more details on that deal. But what'd you think as they integrated, you know, Riyadh season into this, which obviously... By the way, the Riyadh Royal Rumble, the Riyadh Rumble got booed in the arena as they showed the video for it. What were your thoughts of hearing about that Royal Rumble and your thoughts on a black ring mat with sponsors all over it?
Well, the Saudi Rumble is one of those unfortunate things that was also inevitable.
Yes.
I do think we're eventually going to reach a point in this agreement, which is very long. That they're probably going to bring a Mania at some point, and
they should do Super WrestleMania from there.
That's the thing. You just see, because what they used to do was Vince would just trick the Crown Prince almost into like, no, this show is important. There's all these big stars. It's just like WrestleMania. That's what they were doing before, but now they're actually bringing their
And I mean, what's say up? What you want about Vince. I mean, he basically told the Crown Prince to go fuck himself at one point, which is insane with the plane ride situation. But sorry to interrupt. Yeah, the Rumble and the sponsors.
Right. So for the Matt, look, it was inevitable. I think it was you who reported a year ago. Well, the recent one, yes, but also a year ago, you pretty much said that like this new regime is into that they're open to advertisements and they're going to start trickling them in around the ring and in the ring and that kind of thing. And I would say, like, is there a way we could aesthetically arrange this in a more pleasing way?
Buddy, they will have Otis painted up like a fucking NASCAR if they can.
Right.
Should. I mean, like, why not? It doesn't matter to me. Like, mm-hmm. to me, I don't notice it. I never notice it. In fact, I am one of the people that think AEW probably need to slap their logo back on their mat.
I agree. I'm not oh, this mat is, we got to protect the sanctity of the mat. I'm not even saying that, but because look, I watch boxing. I watch UFC ads all over the fucking mat. If you go to Mexico, AAA, CMLL, there's ads and stuff on the mats. I just wish it was arranged slightly nicer. Regarding the look of the show in general, I think some of it, the aesthetic was just because the Intuit Dome is like so high tech. Like there was all those red lights on every chair. So like that's kind of neat. But like in general, I would hope that that's not a weekly thing because it was kind of like Uncanny Valley in there to me. I'm a very simple guy, Sean. For me personally, I like my wrestling aesthetic to just be very simple, minimal lighting. I don't need all these fucking lasers and beams and poke and dots all over the place. It's very disorienting. I get like Thunderdome vibes and it makes me uncomfortable. But besides that, the production was incredible. It looked big time. It looked major league. The screen quality on Netflix was great. The stream ran perfect as well. So the look of the show looked good. You know?
Yeah, there were a lot of questions about whether Netflix would be able to handle it after, obviously, Tyson Paul was a different beast. It was one of the most watched sports events in years. But men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Saving money now during Menards Bag Sale. All prices after 15% bag sale discount. Pick up a 6-pack of LED light bulbs for just $2.97. Get a wood or fiberglass claw hammer for only $2.29 each. 52-ounce bottles of Ajax dish soap, just $2.97. And 12 packs of Shasta soda in assorted flavors are only $4.19. Don't miss out on Menards Bag Sale happening now. Good through January 12th. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But Everything went really well. There were commercials during the matches. I got the premium tier and I still got commercials, but I slapped on that NordVPN.com/Fightful, my friends. I'll tell you guys more about that later, but I just switched my stuff to the UK and didn't have commercials anymore. So I encourage you guys to get that new ref gear. Listen, that those ref shirts are slick. They're slick, buddy. I like them.
Oh, yeah, they're interesting. Like yeah, for sure.
They've
for
still sure. got the two stripes
mm-hmm.
to signify this is a ref, but
yeah. It's going to take a while to get used to it, but you know, cuz I don't like change, Sean. I get used to things, you know, I'm getting too old for this shit, you know. I get used to things and it's like, all right, I've settled in. And then it's like, wham, new shirts. And it's like, hey, let's relax here. Let's calm down, please. Let's just please relax. But yeah,
one look, of the things I always complained about in AEW was how everything was black. Ring ropes, ring barricade, all that. With WWE, they've been so colorful for so long. Like, this is almost a little welcome for me, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We got Eric saying, first off, holy shit, what an opening. I had chills like I was actually about to walk out. What a show it was. Man, WWE feels like a juggernaut right now. The pre-show red carpet with the bar and setup looked incredible, too. It was a nightmare for those involved. That much I'll tell you. I am crushing. C says, Super WrestleMania, four-night extravaganza. Forever Young Zo says, the red lights on the seats made it look like the crowd was empty during the wide shots. Wouldn't you rather a sea of people than a bunch of red lights? They like their pretty lights, man. WWE actually, they usually put lights behind their Tron or whatever that might be. That way it looks a little busier there and it's not a big gap. To me, yeah, if they're asses in the seats, you want people to see that they're asses in seats. But it didn't, like, to me, it was pomp and circumstance for the evening. Yeah. They're not going to do it every week, Ibu.
Yes, that's what I figured, and I'm glad. Like I said, this is very much like this, like, almost pamphlet of what WWE is, and like the regular normal watcher that I am.
Yes,
I'm just like I'm fine with getting back to like business as usual, like next week. You know, it looks like next week. Speaking not to jump ahead, but looks like we're like really getting to wrapping up a lot of like long term stories that we've been doing. This week it was the Rhea Ripley Liv thing again, fingers crossed. But next week appears to be the final Balor Priest match, which
I hope so.
Thank fucking God, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I need all of Judgment Day or Damian Priest on SmackDown. We know Drew's going to be spending more time over there, which is probably good for him. Seems like he lost his way out of Raw tonight, but we'll see. Jonathan Corona says, I like the new referee shirts. Ken Ruzza says, across the nation playing was the only pop for me. And Jonathan Corona also says, do you think we'll see a similar stage next week on Raw? Who do you think came up with the stage, Triple H or Lee Fitting? Do you guys notice they played the across the nation theme? I did notice that. I hope we see a similar set because, Ibu, there is no point in having that huge screen anymore. They don't play the matches during it. Like, it's most arenas have video screens up high anyway. It has become progressively less useful if they're not going to show the match on the TitanTron, because that's why they used to have it.
Yes, and they're selling so many goddamn tickets now that they're putting seats on the stage. So yeah, go for it. I like reduced stages in wrestling shows, so I'm all for it. Another quick thing, Sean. It was brought to my attention that the American viewers, while we were on commercial, the people in international markets were seeing hidden segments and maybe a little bit more of the action. And, you know, I felt left out as a guy living in the United States of America. And I was wondering maybe if there was a way for me to access those segments. Is there maybe any type of apparatus or service that I could
use? I am so happy that you asked that because there is. And especially for all of you real Americans, and I mean really real Americans,
right.
Use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Football season's over, but man, I use NordVPN.com/Fightful to change my virtual location to watch all the football games. I had to use it Major League Baseball season because they make it impossible to watch baseball games. But now as a wrestling fan, we got your back. How about this? If you want to cut the cord on cable completely, you can watch SmackDown on Netflix with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And you might be like, yeah, but I'll still have to have Peacock. No, you won't. Change your virtual location with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can put it to the UK, to Canada, wherever. log into your Netflix over there, and you're going to have access to Raw, SmackDown, NXT, wow, PLEs, all of it with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
And that with that Fightful link, because the other thing is, like, you look, man, money's tight sometimes, Sean. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, I don't have time to be, I don't have the money to just be going around like that.
Buddy, so here's my question. How about this?
What's
2 years of this?
Yeah.
2 years of this costs less than 1 month of cable.
Wow. And will the Fightful link provide a discount?
Yes, it will. It will. Holy fucking shit. You're get a great deal. And there's a 30-day money back guarantee, if you can believe that. They got tech support, 24/7 tech support. It's magical. It's magical. Almost as magical as that pop Macaulay Culkin got. My good God. We got O'Shea Jackson, Tiffany Haddish, Stephen Amell, Richard Gadd of Baby Reindeer, Ashton Kutcher, who got booed, Seth Green, Wale, who they definitely were like, oh, Wale's here. Quick, get a graphic. And cut back to him. Michael Shea, Gabriel Iglesias, and Danielle Fishel, who also got a huge pop. The stars were out. But listen, Macaulay Culkin is a worker, Ebu.
Oh,
he knew he was going to get that pop. He knew it. He did the face reveal. He popped up, and he's like, what's up, guys? It's me. I got to say, I respect it. I respect it an awful lot.
You know what my favorite thing was of showing all the celebrities in the crowd is the camera always lingers on them for an additional awkward 2 seconds. Because what happens is everybody has like their thing that they'll do for about 5 seconds. And then it's like, all right, please get the camera off me. So like, it'll be like, if it was me, like, here's Abel Russell Pearson. I'm like, and you do like the extra nod, and it's like, all right, can we please transition? it's awesome.
Yes. Also, they did Will Friedle of Boy Meets World really dirty. He was there with Danielle Fishel. Mm. They did not give him a nameplate, but Will Chisholm says,
a bit of that.
Will Chisholm says, not trying to get the black vans at you, but you heard any Rumble or Mania plans for EO and Becky? No. All I've heard is that they hope that Becky will be back soon. I haven't heard when or what type of program. I thought she would be back tonight. Didn't know, though.
Sean, I think Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch will be back on a collision course relatively soon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could get down with that.
And Vic, I think Io Sky is going to rebuild herself in the hopes of maybe a potential WrestleMania bid for the title.
Ooh, I like that as well. Luis Montoya says, what's your favorite prop the wrestler used to advance or tell a storyline? Example, Pepper and Al Snow versus Boss Man feud, or Jericho's light up jacket versus Mox.
I know my least favorite is, and that's does candlesticks count? Like, are we just talking about inanimate object? Yeah, because
of course, yeah.
Yeah. If pro wrestling did a 2-year moratorium on candlesticks, I wouldn't complain.
Probably the mannequin that pretended to be a dead woman was my least favorite for sure. For sure. Dog food was a least favorite. I got a lot of least favorites. Friendship bracelets are least favorite. Listen, I got to say selfishly, my favorite is Gene Snitsky with the baby doll. And when he punted that little shit, I loved it. But, man, we got Vic saying Cole and Pat driving the Cadillac of announce tables. That was another one Fightful Select broke. The announce table with lights all over it was wild. And Eric says, wanted to ask you something outside this great show. I get money talks. The grass isn't always greener. Do the likes of MJF or any of AEW stars, how do you see what WWE is doing and not go well? I at least got to take my shot. Money. Money, and
it's a business, man. He has a great deal with AEW. He's allowed to pursue his outside interests and do the acting thing and then come back and do what he wants in pro wrestling. So I mean, he's in a good situation that works for him and he gets paid great. He's already a millionaire, so he's in a great situation, and I'm sure he'll reassess it when his deal is up in a couple of years, and it'll be the same thing next time.
So the interesting thing is I'm pretty sure that he signed a new deal in 2022, almost immediately after the little holdout thing. And I think I am of the belief that his original deal would have been up at the beginning of 2024, but he kept working that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think his deal is probably actually up fairly like this year, but he can't go out and say,
no,
hey guys, my deal. Like he tapped that well too much, but I'll tell you a well, it's been tapped an awful lot. Triple H comes out and asks if we're ready. And I'm like, yeah, we're ready, man.
I am ready. I am ready. Paul Levesque. I am on my Netflix app. I have subscribed. I am ready to watch some professional wrestling, sir.
He hates doing this, you know. He hates going on screen and you know, all that. That's what I hear. Then The Rock comes out. He thanks the Netflix people. He says he'll go Squid Game on their asses. Season 2 is pretty good, by the way.
Is that true?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'll take your word for it on that. I'll take your word for it.
I enjoyed it. But then the interesting stuff happens. And by interesting, I mean, that's suspicious, but not really. Not even reading what I've been posting and hearing what Abu's been saying for a while. So let me give you guys a little rundown, a little timeline here. Back in the fall, Dave Meltzer had reported that The Rock had informed them that he wasn't going to be able to work WrestleMania. Now, I cannot say that I heard that The Rock informed them of such, but The Rock went out and said, don't believe that BS. Boy, that if May ends up hitting and he doesn't work WrestleMania, that'll be, whew. But probably about a month later, I was talking to somebody and they were tied to WWE Creative, and they said, yeah, we made plans, assuming The Rock is not going to be working WrestleMania. And I asked why, and I heard the same thing that you heard. Well, it's likely that Moana reshoots will be happening at that point. Okay.
Wow, would you look at that? You know what's funny, Sean? Actually, finish your timeline, and I'm going to start yelling
at people. Let's keep doing the timeline. That being said, we had always reported he is The Rock, and everybody kind of knows that if he decides to work WrestleMania, like, the week before, if he goes me versus Eddie Thorpe, 2 out of 3 falls, WrestleMania, they're going to be like, all right, you and Eddie Thorpe, 2 out of 3 falls, WrestleMania, let's do it. About 5 days before Bad Blood, actually, I'd say about a week from what I heard, they really definitively said, okay, The Rock is going to be there. Now, I can tell you that when Cody and Roman filmed their at Georgia at the 50-yard line thing, they had been told they were main eventing with the hope that The Rock would show up at the end. Right. This obviously stuck in some people's craw because Drew Punk was a big match and obviously ended up becoming one of the greatest cage matches in the history of pro wrestling. The Rock comes out and he does 1, 2, 3, and then he does rock, paper, scissors. He does the Macarena, does everything. People are like, what does it mean? Oh my God. What does it mean?
Theory craft time. Let's figure out what's going on here. All the words.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, let's go. Well, then I hear, oh yeah, well, we didn't even know he was going to be there until like a week before. We weren't really sure. And then he let us know. Okay. Right after that, I talked to people at the Intuit Dome. I posted a report saying that they were expecting a lot of big stars. They wanted it to be PLE worthy. And Intuit Dome were told, expect The Rock to be there. Okay. Shortly after that, I'd say about Survivor Series time. I'm asking about creative for WrestleMania. That's when I had mentioned on this show, Cody versus Cena is the plan. And I had been told and reported that the current plan that they are putting wheels in motion for was Roman Reigns and CM Punk at WrestleMania. And that is the active plan. Mm-hmm. The Rock announces yesterday that he's going to be on Raw, and boy, were our mentions interesting.
Yeah, I'd imagine yours was as interesting as mine were. A lot of people taking victory laps, a lot of people trying to get their dunks off. A lot of people, it's the same crowd that loves to try to discredit the wrestling media or be like, aha, we knew you were frauds.
Yeah.
We knew you lie. We knew you that worked.
That's my favorite thing is to, like, you know, go on the internet and lie about people that I'm going to have to go see in like a month. Like, that's one of my favorite things. Go out there and report absolute horseshit about people that I'm going to run into and be sticking a microphone in their face in 3 or 4 weeks. 250-pound grown men would squash me. Lie about them. That's what we do.
I'm sure you agree with me in that. Look, we're wrestling fans. We'd like to see The Rock at WrestleMania, would we not? Like, obviously,
love to.
Yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great for our channel because Rock being on the shows, more people are going to watch shows.
Dude, I went through this with Punk. People thought that I could because I reported on him getting into fist fights, and me agreeing and disagreeing with points about that meant I didn't like him. He's one of top three performer of all time in my book. I one of my favorite performers of all time. I was stoked to see him back at Survivor Series. I was not stoked to see media illiterate dumbasses who don't know how to read. But The Rock showed up, and guess what he did? What he did, and guess what he didn't do, Ibu?
What didn't he do, Sean?
He didn't say a word about WrestleMania.
No, he thanked the Netflix executives. He put over the TKO company. And he put over Cody Rhodes, the flag bearer. If anything,
he drank fucking vodka with this man in front of the same bus that he smeared his blood all over less than a year ago.
Yeah, if anything, it felt, Sean, like he was putting a pause on the character and putting a bow on all of his existing stories.
He literally became corporate Rock.
Yes, that wasn't the final boss. That was Dwayne Johnson going, hey, everybody. Thanks for watching Raw Netflix, man. This is the start of a new era. It's going to be great. Shout out to Cody Rhodes, the guy who's taken us to this point. He is awesome. Love you, man. He shouts out Cody. Cody's in the crowd like, hey, buddy. You know, dab each other up.
That was weird.
It was weird as fuck. Unusual. He was like, okay. So again, that doesn't sound like that doesn't look like a guy that in his head is like, yeah, I'm gonna really increase the heat here in March for WrestleMania, unfortunately.
One and only says, can't believe they cooked Cody versus Rock like that. And Safe Den Super says, Dwayne ruined like 2 years of storytelling. What the hell? Can no one TKO tell him that promo was a terrible idea? If he's not working WrestleMania, I don't think it's a terrible idea. But listen, I mean, remember I said this. We have never said he is absolutely not working WrestleMania because that guy can stroll up on April 18th and say he wants to do something. And they'll do something.
Yeah, and as I've been saying, what's up?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I've been talking all week about this because I've talked to people within the company in creative, and they are instructed to basically proceed with their jobs with the thinking that pretend he's not even there and do what you got to do, right? And what I've been reiterating to people is that they've expressed to me, these are people talking directly to me, essentially going like, this is what they tell us. But I think personally, again, that's what they think personally is. Look, it's Rock. You never know with him. Who the fuck knows? He could just swoop in at the final hour. And I, Sean, this is how this works, folks. I am relaying what they are telling me. I'm not definitively telling you, hey, this is what's happening. Because the truth is with Rock, man, he does what the fuck he wants. Even Triple H says this, right? When he decides what he's going to do, he's not going to go to writer B. He's going to go to Nick Khan, Ari Emanuel, and Paul Levesque, and then they're going to plan accordingly. But I was relaying what the writers, like where they were at with this whole thing. And again, as currently presented, he is not in the plans to have a match against anybody. And he's doing the Murano reshoots and all that jazz. And again, Sean, people took victory laps because of the whole announcement last night. And then come to find out, if you watch this TV, it's very clear that if nothing else, he's putting a pin and a pause on a lot of his wrestling storyline stuff.
And I saw people say he didn't ruin anything. Listen, he could come back in 1 year and just be a petty piece of shit on screen and just be like, you know what? I tried to be the bored guy. I tried to do what Netflix thought was best for business, etc. He's like, no, it's me. It's always been me. I'm the biggest star in the world. And he can just kick that back off. He also announced he's going to be on NXT tomorrow.
That is weird.
I mean, good for him. They're staying in LA. A lot of people, we had reported that the NXT talent were there tonight because they got a show there tomorrow. Shout out Corey Brennan for that note. But Parker Hines says, what do you see Rock doing on NXT tomorrow? Will says, I think we're getting Rock versus Eddie tomorrow. And Ryan says, Eddie Thorpe, count your days. We should absolutely, absolutely see The Rock hit a rock bottom on Eddie Thorpe. Like, that should absolutely happen.
I think, Sean, that he is going to do something with Trick Williams. I think they're going to, like, he's going to co-sign him or something like that.
Punch, punch, spit, punch into Trick's finish. No bump. No, yep. Yeah, not a violation of whatever insurance he's on right now. Tony says they make jokes about Dwayne's beard. And Bertrand says, there has to be a twist. Rock is working us. Listen, man, I can tell you how this will happen. The Rock will eventually work his match. Say it's in a year or two. And I'll have some dumbass in my replies going, see, that's what he was talking about at Bad Blood. That's what he was setting up.
I think I'll tell you this. When he lingered as long as he did in front of Roman Reigns, it did come across my head like,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and then it's like, all right, I guess not.
And again, I want him to do that. And I'm also always of the belief, if you can get him to walk out and hold up a few fingers at Bad Blood, you do it. Mm-hmm. You absolutely do it. If he is within an hour of your venue, you do something to get him there to do that, without a doubt. But we had Tribal Combat. Roman Reigns defeated Solo Sikoa. This is your typical Bloodline match. You got a powerbomb through a table, and then it becomes the Avengers Endgame. And what I love is The Rock loves and respects Roman, but not enough to go in and do literally anything to Jacob Fatu. He's like, that's where I draw the line. I am not going to come and help you here. Mm-hmm. You got Jacob and Tama coming out. Why are Sammy and Jimmy so slow? What did they have to do tonight besides this?
Especially since, you know, it's Tribal Combat. You know that, like, there's no rules, essentially. And you know your guy is going to be – he's probably going to get double teamed. Why are you not standing by the curtain in Gorilla and going, all right, guys, let's – in fact, why aren't you waiting Gorilla – like, here's the thing. Unless these guys are jumping the rails, if they're going through the entranceway, why don't you see them in Gorilla and go, hey, fucker, don't walk out there. And then, you know, you get a two-on-two brawl in Gorilla in front of Michael Hayes, you know.
But – then we get Kevin Owens coming out hitting a stunner. Cody
that
comes
was awesome.
And makes the save. I love that.
I popped huge for Kevin attacking Roman. I was like, yeah, man, get him. Fucking get him. You know, so that
I loved
was
it.
Sick. Yeah.
I loved it. And Cody came out. So they're also wisely promoting their program for is it Royal Rumble or is Saturday Night's main event? I think it's Rumble. I think it's Rumble if they face each other at.
Yes, yes. It's going to be a ladder match for both championships, the old Winged Eagle,
yes,
as well as the current WWE championship. It will be, they'll both be suspended in the ring, WrestleMania 10 style with the IC belts in a ladder match, one-on-one, Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens. And like you've already hinted, Sean, I think at the conclusion of this, coming out of it, I think we might see a new championship belt.
A new championship belt that represents the Winged Eagle.
And the
gold
one.
Belt,
yes,
the black belt, and the blue/red belt,
yes.
There we go. Which is also would still not be an undisputed title like they claim, because there is in fact another world title belt. But
yeah, it's like what's the deal with that? This is very much in dispute. There's a champion on the other brand.
And if I were Gunther, I would be saying that. I'd be saying
I'd be mad.
I dispute.
Hell. Yes,
I dispute.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh,
my God. Roman wins and The Rock walks out. And at that point, I go, man, are me and Boo's mentions about to get even wilder?
I
was like, what's he going to do here?
I got to be honest, Sean. So he walks out and the fan in me is like, please rock bottom him.
Yes, then, of like, course.
Just rock bottom him. But then it's like, oh, that's going to be a tough night. It's going to be a tough night for me.
That's why I was so conflicted with Punk. I was like, man, yeah. Like, listen, I want him to come back there so bad, but I didn't want to deal with the discourse around it.
Correct.
But The Rock really did linger. Like, he was just sitting there, and this son of a bitch knows what he's doing.
Yeah, because he was exactly hanging around. He was hanging around. Yeah. He was teasing it. And we've watched enough wrestling to know, man, you've been hanging out and you're standing there and you're staring at him. And it's like, this situation is going on a bit long. You're going to do a rock bottom. Like,
How many times do you think he's heard that piece of shit Hogan tell the story about when he beat Warrior and about how nobody was looking at Warrior winning the title? They were looking at Hogan leaving. Yep. He just know that type of thing sticks in his mind because he just hung around there. But
absolutely,
I'll tell you what's wild. We are talking like 10 years to the month where The Rock walked out and held up Roman Reigns' arm and they got booed out of the building. And tonight, people accepted it.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
And I bet you that means something to Roman.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. And all they had to do was, I don't know, maybe not just completely fight the audience after they had completely fought the audience for the better part of 10 years already with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-take says, I understand it means he's not going to be at Mania, but him hugging Cody and knighting Roman was bad and made me feel dumb for paying attention last year. Not really. He could portray himself as a disingenuous piece of shit very easily. He is The Rock. Austin says, we're all in agreement that Reigns is probably on the cover of 2K25. Yes, he did announce that he would be at Raw on January 27th. There is something 2K related that week as well. He closed the door and the 2K logo was there.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Brown says, people talk about cross promotional matches. I think the one that's perfect for WWE is Roman Reigns versus Evil. Your thoughts on that, Ibu?
Well, Evil had a good match at Wrestle Kingdom against the president, Hiroshi Tanahashi. So I don't know if Roman Reigns versus Evil will be the same match, but I don't know. Maybe you could do that one in the video game.
Let me tell you, I was happier than a pig in shit that Gabe Kidd had a career altering weekend because that is a guy I've been banging that drum since late 2021. I've been interviewing that guy for 3 years. And quite frankly, when he says, let's hop on StreamYard, I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's do this interview. I was so excited. I ran one live last week just because I was like, let's get this thing out, man. He's a special talent. Very excited for his weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Scribble Stoke says, imagine if Mox came out and hugged Darby in the crowd. Bro, I want to enjoy WWE, but man, this and AEW not having Kenny as their top star make me mourn over US Pro Wrestling. I need New Japan to be good again. There were definitely a couple things on this show that if the tables were turned and this happened in another company, you would have a lot of bad faith actors saying, well, why would they do that? They don't even know how to book right. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. You would absolutely have that.
100%. Well, beyond that, Sean, I mean, every match, and I actually enjoyed all the matches on this show, but every match was very much finisher kickouts all over the place. And my whole thing is, you know, if it adds to the drama of the match, then go for it. But that's the thing that people love to peg AEW matches with. It's all, man, it's too much just kickouts and finishers and kickouts and no selling. And it's like, that's just the modern wrestling style everywhere you look, man, including in WWE. And we saw that was evident tonight on this episode.
We got Jeffrey Singleton saying, what's up with the commercials tonight? Thought it was commercial free. I don't have the answers on that. I just have the answers on how to not get them. That is NordVPN.com/Fightful, my friends. But yeah, I was on the highest tier. I had somebody in my reply saying, oh, well, I've got this tier and I didn't get them. And I was like, buddy, I could not get more maxed out on the tier right now. Logan Paul package. He says he's 100% a Raw star now. I would imagine Netflix is probably willing to pay to make that happen, but sure.
Sure.
John Cena promo. Super chat. From Gorilla Press said, Cena had one swole arm like Quagmire. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, an awful lot of this, buddy. John Cena's out there. I love that he waits until the last year of his career to get gear that doesn't look completely obnoxious to the eyes, like gear that is finally like visually aesthetically pleasing. Listen, my good friend Jesse the Buckeye brought up a pretty good point.
Mm-hmm.
If he's doing make-a-wishes, let's maybe not bring the last time is now towel with you.
I call it the cum rag.
Let's maybe leave that one behind. John Cena cuts a promo. He talks about potential Mania opponents, and good for WWE, Cody Rhodes' name gets a big pop. Because, listen, we have watched the WWE where they fought the current an awful lot with what fans wanted. And now fans are, like, eager to take what WWE is giving them. Like, WWE would have loved to have had this audience when John Cena was around all the time.
Yeah, yeah. This company was not this hot for a lot of John Cena's tenure in the promotion.
Yeah. And Cena says, I actually really loved what John Cena said. He was like, okay, I understand that there's a lot of people that want me to win 17, but let's be realistic. The reason I'm retiring is because I kind of suck now. He's like, I haven't won a match in 2,200 days. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't deserve a title shot. It'd be a miracle if I got a title shot, much less won one. He said, unless I won the Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber or Money in the Bank. And then he's like, you know, I think I'll enter the Royal Rumble. And the crowd ate it up. They won it. And now you've got John Cena at 234 years old, getting the reactions they always wish he would have gotten.
Oh, yeah. This man.
And I love it. I hope he gets a phenomenal farewell tour.
This is the most I've seen John Cena get cheered for saying, I want the championship.
Right? Ever.
Ever.
Well, maybe since 2005.
2005, right.
Yeah, since it started.
And any time since then, I mean, like, it's just kind of, you know, for us, Sean, watching this, like, the younger fans, it's a different experience for them because they've always been cheering John Cena, you know, but it's like surreal still like when you really think about it, like it's surreal to watch John Cena like get this accepted.
Yeah. And I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't quite understand it, especially our younger audience, but man, they really force fed John Cena. And it was an era they were trying to create a whole lot of other John Cenas, and they're, like, it was not a carbon copy situation. You couldn't make Luther Reigns or Mark Jindrak, as physically gifted as a Mark Jindrak was. You couldn't turn one of those guys into him. Ricky Ortiz has all this charisma. Oh, great. How many does he know? Any wrestling moves? Can he put together a match? Any of that? Because John Cena could, even if he wasn't the smoothest worker in the ring. But they really, really force fed him to the point to where, like, 9 months into his reign, people were really excited to see Edge, a dastardly heel, cash in on him. So,
absolutely.
When he wins this, which I hope he does, they got to sell throwback jerseys with the number 17 on them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
New Day segment during the commercials.
Oh, I missed this.
Oh, so good. So good. So they're in LA. They say that Kendrick Lamar sucks and that Drake won the battle. Good stuff. Good stuff. Then later on, they confront Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias. And what I love is they're like, we're not going to watch your special. And Xavier goes, yeah, I'm definitely not going to watch that tomorrow, which I really appreciated. And you got American Alpha on there, or Alpha Academy. This is harmless.
It was not only was it harmless, Sean, it set up a match I'm looking forward to because Chad Gable spoke to Adam Pearce and basically said, I'm sick of this narrative that I can't beat luchadors, so bring me your best one to next week and I'll fight him. And then Pierce was like, sure, buddy. And he's going to be facing a mystery guy next week. I wonder who that is, Sean.
But now I'm like, well, what about the New Day Rey Mysterio situation?
You know what I think happened, Sean?
What do you think happened?
Maybe I'm wrong. I think there's a possibility that WWE saw the another luchador in LWO. What the fuck, Triple H?
Well, and now who, like, are they going to get for Ray?
Look, we're just going to have you team with Dragon Lee. All right.
Oh, you can
just
God. Make it safe,
you know? I think it's just going to be Dragon Lee now. Which, look, that's
look at one of the Vianos or something.
Oh, man. There's like anyone. Yeah, right. I'll tell you what, though.
I'm interviewing Ricardo Rodriguez tomorrow. They could get El Locale to come back.
Him still being around is crazy.
He's only 38.
What?
He's only 38 years old. He was like 23 when he was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty wild, right?
Wow. I saw some guy tweeting, and I was howling about this. I saw a guy tweet that Elio Del Dr. Wagner Jr., who is a free agent last season.
He's a free agent.
No, yes. Yes. Could you imagine he's the fucking guy that Chad is facing next week? That would be random and very un-WWE, considering like a new international wrestler that has no American foothold at all typically goes to NXT first. But it would be a funny misdirection if they did, like, let's say they booked the New Day versus Rey and question mark next week, right? Also, and he did like a double luchador debut, which also will not happen. But it would be a funny misdirection nonetheless. I'm looking forward to Chad Gable versus Penta. It's a great first opponent for Pentagon Jr. Chad Gable's as good as it gets in the mid card, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to make these things coexist. I just wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. You know what?
What's up?
I wonder. I can't remember what name he used though. The luchador that beat up Samoa Joe on the last Collision before CM Punk got fired. Who was actually CM Punk, by the way. They could probably pull off something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like Otis in a luchador mask or some shit like that.
Oh my God.
That would be a very WWE thing to do.
Oh my God. And yeah, now I'm remembering what you're talking about when Punk was in the golden thing. And
I was there for it.
Oh boy, that was a weird
angle. Those tapings went to 12:30 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they had to get Saraya to the UK and film her match and do promotion for it, but they had to film her match. But Britt Baker, literally, when the taping started, was in Birmingham and had to catch a private jet to Lexington.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah, yeah.
It's insane.
Look, if it was just like, if a guy comes out next week and it's like, introducing to the ring, I don't know why I'm doing Howard Finkel's voice, but it'll be Alicia Taylor. So, like, introducing to the ring.
Yes.
That, like, really guttural. Like curling scream she does, El Gordo, and it's like, huh, who? And it's just like a guy just going like, ha, and you know he's doing a worm and shit, and it's obviously Otis. I could see that. Again, I would like it to just be Penta, El Cerro Miedo.
Shout out to the 20,000 of you wonderful people watching live. We greatly appreciate it. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. And of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, soon to be the best $6 in the business. We are going to six you up. I swear to God, we will.
Oh, man. You're going to start sixing them up?
Listen.
Look, I like six. You know what I mean? That's a good number. You know what I mean?
I got a way that you can six them up. Seven them up. I don't know what you're bringing.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Tim says, Penta versus Chad Gable next week. Oh, it's probably Otis in a mask. Vin says, great work today. I don't always agree with the opinions, but lots of news and insight today from the credible wrestling media. Give yourself a pat on the back. Well, thank you.
That means a lot. Honestly, it means a lot. Look, I'm not going to place this weird sense of importance on myself that I don't have. I'm just a dude that happens to relay information that people within wrestling give me. But I do appreciate that. I thank you. So I'll take it and pat myself on the back.
Yeah. And listen, I don't ever mind if you guys have different opinions than me. Just, you know, be nice about it.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley defeated Liv Morgan to become women's world champion. Listen, I know the Liv stands are not going to be happy about this, but it is creatively probably the right move. And I would also get Liv Morgan far away from Rhea Ripley at this point. This was finisher kick out, finisher kick out. There was definitely a 2K ass move that I would have created 10 years ago where it was power bomb, like double wrist clutch into a hold into a deadlift suplex. And I was like, you know what? That's something I would have definitely made on 2K creative finisher back in the day. Brandon Rosen says, wasn't the Liv Rhea match supposed to be last woman standing? Did you hear of any backstage changes? I just heard it was an error is all I heard.
That's crazy. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It happens way more than you think. Dream Ninja, or actually Joseph Morris says, hope WWE gives Liv her WrestleMania moment because she deserves it. Could you see her winning the Rumble? I probably don't think so. No.
Liv Morgan's not winning the Rumble. She had her moment. She has been the world champion for about 8 months. She's a fixture on the TV, a main character. I'll tell you what I think she's doing on at Mania, Sean. I think she will be in a big tag match opposite the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that would. I think that's probably what's going to happen. I actually would also love it if Liv went the hour in the Rumble again and didn't win, because I think there's a good story there that she is always the Iron Woman, never the winner. And she could play that off very well. And then she sort of matches the vibe we get from Nikki a little bit in that sense. But Rhea put Liv away in 11 minutes. Cool Wow says, firstly, a big fan of Eboo. Underwhelming show. Felt they tried to do too much when it wasn't really captivating, but enjoyed Puck Rollins. Where do you see Liv's future heading now? I think that the attraction element that Eboo brought up, you got to get the Wyatts on the show. You got to get the Wyatts and also have, where's Mania at this year?
Las Vegas.
Vegas.
It's going to be in the,
in the stadium.
Yeah, but
it'll be Allegiant. You want the Wyatts entrance to be at night, first off, when it's dark, if possible. But yeah, I think that's a natural direction. And the Wyatts aren't always on TV. Judgment Day are. I think they can bridge that gap pretty well. But Dream Ninja wants Jordan to debut and win the Rumble and face Rhea at Mania. I would not be opposed to that whatsoever if that's what they did. But I don't think it will happen. I don't think it'll happen. But what did happen, like from a kayfabe perspective, it was kind of rude of The Undertaker. Rhea's celebrating, and he's like, "Bob, Bob, ah, I'm an American badass."
That's why when he drove by her, I was like, "What a fucking prick!" But then he came back and was like, "You know, you're a badass chick, I gotta say." And then they posed and did the thing.
It's like, what if she left? Because he just gonna interrupt her and be like, "Listen to my back." What was he doing? But yeah, he did the American badass raise up. A lot of people are like, well, why does he do that version? It's because he has said that he has retired the hat and boots and all that stuff. So he comes out basically as him. The character of the dead man was effectively retired there. But listen, it's, you could tell that meant something to Rhea Ripley. So good for her. Another pretty harmless, albeit hilarious spot. Nowhere near hilarious as the segment I'm about to talk about. Because on the Fightful Raw rundown on Fightful Select, we had noted that Jey Uso's entrance was set as its own segment. What was not included on that rundown was Travis Scott smoking a big stinky joint.
Oh, yeah. I wanted Jey to take a hit of that, but I think he was like, let me not even risk it, you know?
I also love that they have given Travis Scott this hardcore title, this new age one. Like, why not? Listen. Sure. Ryan says it's just weed ooze day one ish. Weed
ooze. Oh man.
There are zero super chats about this match, but there are three about the weed. Michael says Travis Scott segment killed the rest of the show for me. Why?
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 That was great vibes.
Yeah, it was fine. Well, okay. You want to know who wrote this segment?
Who?
Take a guess who wrote this segment.
I have no clue.
Drake Maverick wrote this segment.
Oh, of course he did.
I love it. Will Chisholm says, Travis Scott smoking a blunt on Netflix popped me. It was good stuff. It was. Then Jey Uso defeated Drew McIntyre. This was, you know, a more slow-paced match. You have Drew going through his usual spots, the power bomb. But this was, like you said, it was a lot of finisher kick out in these spots, in these matches. How'd you feel about this and Jey Uso getting the win? Because this is a huge win for him.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising. I'm not a huge fan of Drew losing this match, to be honest with you. I mean, he's on a great roll. His character work has been awesome. He's running through the bloodline and feels like a fucking killer. It feels like they're simply doing this loss to delay him. And it just feels like they're like, we don't want to completely, because otherwise he burns through the whole bloodline in like a month. And clearly they want to delay that. So I guess. But I think Drew McIntyre should be more protected than that, even though Jey is a star. He is a star. You know, main event Jey Uso. As for the match, I just thought it was better than like people on social media thought it was. I had fun with it.
Yeah. I would have really preferred Drew to win this as well, especially with him going over to SmackDown and probably taking charge of things there. I would imagine if he is moving to SmackDown, he's going to be an integral figure there. Jey Uso just miraculously over to a degree in which I never anticipated a couple of years ago. Like, I knew that he would emerge from this all right, but my God, this guy. Broadway Joe says, first time watching Raw. Really like The Rock, Cena, and Taker guys. Can't wait to see them next week.
That's a great bit. That's an incredible bit.
Kay Adams, who is a sports analyst, she was watching her first WWE show. And she posted a video of The Undertaker, and she just said, what's this guy's story?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, lady, we can't even get into that. When's MJF's contract up? That I do not know. John Alba says, I smartened SRS up to Daniel Garcia and Gabe Kidd. You absolutely did not smarten me up to Gabe Kidd. You smartened me up to Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia for sure. Fid McAwesome, who we dropped two interviews from last week with Darby Allin and Kyle Fletcher, says, give me a super strong monster Penta, the Lucha Taker, if you will. I actually kind of like him as the Lucha Taker, like where if you're going to do like that Lucha division type of thing, like Rey Mysterio is like, yeah, you all got to watch yourselves around this guy. Tin Ruza says, glad I got Omega and Kid. That was so fire emoji. Listen, if you haven't watched it, that is a must watch match. That is the story of the match was really, really great. And something that legitimately means something to Gabe Kid. Like Gabe Kid was very transparent, albeit, you know, in his type of way about how the pandemic and working for New Japan during the pandemic, he lost his mind doing that. Like he spent time in a mental hospital because of schedule and the hurdles that he faced there, and he did not take kindly to Kenny just strolling back in and being like, hey guys, I'm back, dad's back from buying some cigarettes and milk.
Oh my god
we're a good family again. Like here we are. He's literally like the dad on Talladega Nights, like I'm here, Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first you're last. No.
Oh my god,
no, he kicked his ass out of that Applebee's. Fid McAwesome says, Travis Scott says, or Fid McAwesome says, Travis Scott got my non-wrestling fan Gen Z kids attention more than Logan Paul ever did.
Well, because he's cooler than Logan Paul.
Yeah, he is. He's way cooler than Logan Paul. A guy I think they should have had live on this show was a guy they had in a video package.
Gunther? Yeah, the champion.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when people criticized an awful lot how Swerve was used in the week after he lost his or won his title. And I'm like, it's Raw on Netflix. I would have had something a little bit more. A video package is definitely better than nothing. But yeah, Gunther was not featured on this show to any extreme degree. And I think that it was a mistake. I think they should have.
He's the world champion.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? You know, cut a promo, shit on LA, anything. We didn't have a lot of physical angles on this show either. It was just kind of like match, sponsors, celebrities, match, sponsors, celebrities. And it's kind of weird.
Well, speaking of, Hulk Hogan gets booed out of the building. I don't know nor care what he said. Amir says Variety just dropped headline on Hogan getting boos. John Taylor says, thank you, Los Angeles, for booing Tuffa out of Hulk Hogan. Vic says Hogan getting his ass cooked live. You love to see it. Parker Hines is glad I wasn't the only one noticing that Hogan was getting cooked by the crowd. Jared says Hulk Hogan getting booed made me optimistic for the USA for the first time in months. Mr. Acosta says people will complain about this show. I'm not one of them. Sports entertained that we get more graps next week, I trust. But LMAO Hogan. Just Mass says that Hogan reaction, yikes. D'Lo Diggs says left the room so fast, didn't know Jimmy Hart was there. Need more matches, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Travis smoking the yeet pack. I was hoping that was another Hogan boo one as well, because we got a ton about Hogan getting booed. Big night, Legends appearances with Taker and Hogan felt like Vince era nonsense. New regime should listen to the live reaction, says Tody Randazzo. Jay Stone says, Shannon and Ocho tweeting out that nobody wants Hogan's beer pops me. Glad wow, LA understood awesome. The assignment. That's it. That is insane.
Look, man, like, I think WWE wow. is going to see his reception here and see him probably make some negative headlines and be like, all right, if you remember when Ric Flair first appeared on AEW and then he did the beer thing and they saw the reception it got, they very quickly toned down his on-air involvement and just kind of kept the woo thing in the corner. I think this American beer thing, right? Like, I'm sure you're going to see the ads and the stickers. I think they're going to really rethink bringing Hulk Hogan out live on television because Los Angeles made it. Look, he came off like a dipshit. Nobody cares. Hulk Hogan has nothing to do with this current boom period. He had a lot to do with the one in 1985. He has nothing to do with the one that's taken place from 2022 to now. And I wish WWE would understand that they should just do what brought them to the dance. And Hulk Hogan didn't bring them to the dance. What he was a 2-minute waste of time on this show that nobody had time for, not the people in the venue and many of the people watching at home. And even if you're somebody that supports Hulk Hogan and you want to pull the whole, well, what about all he's done for the business, man? He's a revolutionary. He's a trailblazer. That's great. I'm not saying remove him from history. I'm not saying to pretend he never existed, but on a show with so many talents that aren't even featured on this week's show because they wanted to do so much. Paul Levesque called it a lot of real estate on the show this week that we had to devote our thing, blah, blah. On that type of show, I don't need you to carve out 2 minutes for him to go, drink my beer, brother, a real American dude. Man, we're taking this Hulkamania thing to the next level. That's what's up, man. You do you. You do your side businesses, man. Do your thing. I just want to watch 2025 Monday Night Raw, and you have nothing to do with 2025 Monday Night Raw.
He has not wrestled in 19 years. He did not put anybody over on his way out.
No.
After all the torch passing to The Rock, to The Warrior, all that bullshit that he said, his last three matches, or his last, like, God, like, however many matches, he beat Orton, he beat Angle, or he beat Michaels. He wouldn't lose to Angle. Like, dude, just, I'm done with him.
Beyond
him being a racist piece of shit.
Which he is, not, and it's undeniable, and it's yes. on tape, and you can absolutely listen to it.
This man was so specifically racist, guys, that when his son almost killed his best friend in a car accident, Hulk Hogan got on the phone on a recorded line. And one of the things that he said, because he was so racist, one of his primary fears was that he and his family would get reincarnated into black people as a result of karma. This was a thing that he said.
Like, it's just insane.
It's unbelievable.
I'm done with him.
DNC Digital gave LA gave Hulk a more appropriate memory for January 6th. And Simmons says, I meant lived in his own lyrics. I hate super chats. Will Chisholm says, Hogan gonna have Tessa Blanchard next time. Well, listen, maybe TNA is a more appropriate place for him. N. Simmons says, when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, glad he lived his own life. He got booed. And that's a sad thing, is that such a badass song has to be wasted on him. Because it's an incredible song. Lino says, I was there, tried to start a chant. Vin says, was that the curtain call for Hogan? Listen, I would be surprised at this point if they have Hogan do the Saturday night's main event, that thing that it looked like that he was going to be doing. But yeah, Jason says, instead of having the women's IC title finals, we had a Hogan 2 minute talk promo. WTF. No, I don't want this to take this to be interchanged with women's IC title. That can happen next week. It can have a lot more of a spotlight than on this show. I'm okay with that.
Right. Absolutely.
New Lack City says, Intuit Dome looks amazing outside of some of the complaints about the show. All that really matters is Los Angeles properly got Hulk Hogan the out of here. And Rafael Garcia says, the reformation of the Rising is going according to plan. LA Knight just needs to lose. Then we got I can't remember what his name was in TNA, but the former Camacho Tongaloa, who thought bringing out Hogan was a good idea. Peas and rice. Well, they're going to think twice about that in the future. But by God, guys, we are at the main event. Actually, N. Simmons says, you can see the pain in Hogan's face. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could. We're at the main event. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. Please leave a thumbs up. If you're in the comments section watching after the fact, drop us a comment, drop us a question. I'm in there each week talking to you guys. But CM Punk defeated Seth Rollins, match of the night for me. Really good stuff. It was, you know, it wasn't necessarily finisher kick out. It was other guy's finisher.
Right.
Other guy's finisher kick out.
Right.
We had Rollins doing GTSs, Punk doing the stump. Not only that, you had Rollins doing a pedigree onto the table as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Punk wins after two GTSs, but the crowd was here for it. I really love this match. Fitting of them. I honestly have always felt that they deserved a bit of a plunder violent match, but you know what? Them kicking off one of the most important shows in WWE history as the main event, I think speaks volumes. How'd you feel about this one?
The heat was incredible. I thought about 40% of the way there, Punk got a bit tired, and Seth made up for it. I thought Seth was excellent here, to be honest with you. I thought he showed why he was a big game player, and people like to dunk on Seth and shit on Seth Rollins. But he delivered here, and I thought his energy and his passion really helped, and he was great, especially in the second half, where, like I said, because Punk started to get a bit tired in the middle, and it happens. But that's where the other performer, picks up the slack, holds it together, and again, it's a dance. You know, ultimately. And at the end of the day, just for pure heat and drama and energy and suspense, this was the best thing on the show. I thought this was a good match. And CM Punk comes away with a clean victory after multiple GTSs. There was a lot of GTSs in this match, Sean, from Punk and Seth Rollins. Seth loses this match. I wonder what's next for him. I wonder what his Mania direction is, though I suspect what it is, but still. The other thing is, I wonder what Punk does in February-ish. So he cut a promo on this show, Sean, once while we were getting on the air. He cut an off-air promo where he essentially said he was going for the Royal Rumble and he wants Cody or Gunther. We'll see.
He also shouted out Chris Bay, which is very nice.
Which is awesome. That's awesome. Absolutely.
Berserk says Drew and Mox won the first. Seth has got to politic more. Well, I'm hoping that this... As Seth Rollins or KE775 says, is Seth Rollins descended to madness now? Jared says Seth should brother more, tired of all the L's. I hope this does descend Seth into madness. There's an awful lot of parallels between Seth Rollins and Adam Hangman Page. And I think that's a great thing, because Adam Hangman Page is one of the greatest performers out there right now. And Seth Rollins is one of the greatest performers out there right now. And they have very similar moral compasses. And they are dealing with a guy who you could very easily look at and say, no, he's actually the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys like him? And
There's a lot of that in modern wrestling at the moment. I love those types of characters. At the end of the day, I want the villain to have motivations that are understandable from their perspective. And that makes sense. But ultimately, there is something within their logic that is twisted that makes them the heel. Those are the best characters.
Fahad says there was a lot of communicating in the end between the ref and Punk. Hopefully he's not injured. And Austin Amino says, is Punk injured or is he just selling? Well, as Ryan mentioned, Andy Boo mentioned, he says Punk is spitting fire after the match to Jackie. And Fahad says Punk just cut a great promo on the post show. I would like to believe now, Ibu, that after Punk was admittedly very injury prone for a couple years, he probably knows his body well enough to not cut a promo like that if he thinks he's not going to be around
in a couple of weeks. I would
hope so. And we have a request. Andy says, Ibu, please tell the camp to stop doing topes. My heart can't take it. Any word on if Punk came out of the match okay? Is Punk Roman looking good now?
A lot of people are asking. It's like, dude, I just got on air. I haven't really gotten a chance to check up. You know what I mean?
He was on air while we were on air.
Yeah, like so people, like, how do I put this? Phil is literally in the arena talking to Jackie Redmond on a promo as we are going live. Like, at what point was I going to be able to go like, hey, people close to Punk, like, is he hurt? If I ask CM Punk this, he's not there. If I ask someone close to Punk, they're going to tell me, I don't know, I haven't spoken to him. He's still in the arena. So, look, I hope everything's okay. I will try to get a concrete answer for you guys by tomorrow. Hopefully everything went fine.
I mean, I'll say this. I did reach out to, like, almost every wrestler who competed tonight and asked about the logos, and one of them said, no, there's no slip issues. It was just a little odd seeing them.
Yeah.
So no issues there. One thing we didn't talk about, what'd you think of the cold open? Because I took issue with the cold open.
The kayfabe breaking stuff, right?
Yeah. Same face, heel, shoot, work. Unless you want to argue that literally everything up until The Rock said, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, was like, hey guys, here's an intro too. I was just like, man, saying face, heel, shoot, work. I was like, why are we doing that?
It's unnecessary. You're introducing your wrestling to a completely new audience. Let them believe in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's...
Let them believe in it.
I don't expect Walter White and Jesse Pinkman to look at the camera before they cook meth and say action like that. Like, yeah, I know when that happens.
Right. WWE said, welcome to Netflix. It's fake. Start the show. It's like, what? Why?
It was also interesting to hear Cole straight up say Colby Lopez, now known as Seth Rollins.
He said that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I don't really mind that because, like, Shocker. Your name is not actually Hollywood Hangman Pierce, of which people did, you know, they thought that was your shoot name for a long time.
Oh yeah. People used to, I spoke to Melina Sean Ross at my very first interview was Melina, and she called me Adam repeatedly.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I love that. Oh, God, well, I love all of you. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, who did a great job tonight. But I guess somebody caught CM Punk while eating a donut at the press conference. He said, hi, Denise.
Wow.
This guy eating donuts at a post-show presser. What a great gimmick. But, oh, man. Ibu, tell the people where they can find you.
Okay, so I have a couple things to plug here, Sean. Guys, you can follow me at Backup Hangman on Twitter and Blue Sky. But even more importantly than just following me, which I do appreciate, and I appreciate the support, and the Fightful audience has been so welcoming to me, Sean. You know, sometimes you go to a new environment, a new territory, you got to figure out what they pop for, what they boo, what they cheer for, figure out the type of match they want to work. Maybe they're not into that indie style with all that bullshit down there, but... Yeah. You guys have been very welcoming and I really appreciate it. So many people have reached out to me personally saying, hey man, I was kind of doubtful of you, but you've done great on Fightful, man. Great job. Congratulations. So I appreciate all of you guys for that. Right. But beyond that and beyond me, I have been a part of something now that is the actualization of my time in the space. In my 3 years in the space, it's all led up to the moment where I created this self-made Discord with my best friends, AO, Rob, and Chris. If you know, you know. It is a Discord that I've been working towards my whole time. It's something that's to our name rather than me working for something someone else. So I'm very proud of that, and I'm very protective of it. Essentially, it's a community where we talk wrestling, we watch wrestling, and we do anything in there. I don't know if this is the best sell, but follow at selfmadepw for the account. And in the bio of that account is the link to our Patreon, which shoots you right to the Discord. If this interests you, if you want to get more from me, if you want to talk to me in the Discord, watch pro wrestling with me, recommend me matches, and not just me, but my guys, and so on and so forth. Watch the pay-per-views with us or whatever, kayfabe that. follow at selfmadepw and join our Discord. Appreciate you guys so much. I love I love all of you, and I love and appreciate the support. Thank you.
One and only, I did find yours. It says, after watching this show, Tanahashi is crying again, but for different reasons. I'm very sorry that our moderator missed that. I believe we got all of them. Also, this one popped me, but thank you guys so much. This is one of our most watched live shows in a long time. We are here Tuesday after NXT. We're here Wednesday afternoon for The Hump. We're here Wednesday nights for Dynamite. We're here Thursday evening after TNA and ROH. Friday for SmackDown. Saturday for Collision. We also have Grapsody on Saturdays. We have Beyond the Bell Tuesday mornings with Andrew Zarian. Plus, we got a whole lot more on FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, we're out.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.